Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Why does the Word of God penetrate some people's hearts to the point where it brings dramatic, wonderful changes in their lives, and other people, it just seems to bounce off the shell of their heart without making a dent? There are numerous reasons, but the one James is going to show us today has to do with pride and humility. He's going to call us to a certain way of listening to God's Word that will result in transformation. And it's the only kind of listening that results in transformation. James 1:18 says, "He chose to give us birth through the word of truth." And then in verse 21, he goes on to say, "Therefore, having stripped off all filth and the malice that is so prevalent, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save your soul."
So, James tells us to receive the word. But look how he describes it. Instead of just saying receive the word, he says receive the word which is planted in you. So the word that we're commanded to welcome into our hearts is already in us. The thing that we're told to accept, it's already in us. What does that mean? What does it mean the Bible's in you? I mean, if it's already in me, why do I need to receive it? Well, let's start with the first question. What does it mean to have the word planted in you? I believe the word is implanted when God just does this supernatural work and gives you the ability to understand it and to obey it, to receive it, to let it sink in. And I get that from Deuteronomy 30. If you want to turn your Bible, I'll show you that. Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is a chapter where God uses a very similar image. He doesn't say that the word is implanted there. He didn't use the word implanted, but he used a very similar image. He says, it's in your mouth and it's in your heart. It's inside you. It's real close to you. It's inside you. And so it's a similar idea. And the point that's being made in that passage is, look, you're capable of doing it. You're capable of understanding it. Let me show you, see if you agree. Verse 11. Now, what I'm commanding you to do today is not too difficult or beyond your reach. It's not up in the heavens so that you have to ask, who will ascend to heaven and get it and proclaim it so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word of God is very near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart so that you may obey it. So you see what he's saying there? The idea of it being in you means you can do this. You can do this. Not out of your reach. You can receive it. You can understand it. You can obey it. And one of the great promises in the Old Testament was someday there's going to be a new covenant arrangement with God and His people. And in this new covenant situation, the Word is going to really be in you, even in a greater sense. It'll be inside you in a much greater way. Look at Jeremiah 31:33. It says, "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts." So this is the new covenant. This is promised new covenant. We're going to have it inside us. Now, think about what that means. What does it mean that the Bible is in you? Does that mean you already know what it says before you read it? You don't have to read it? No. I don't know what it says without reading it. I have to read it. What does it mean? Here's what it means. It means you have the ability to understand it. When you do read it, you have the ability to understand it. You have the ability to absorb it and to welcome it and to obey it. And you have a far greater ability to do that than the Old Testament folks did. I believe that's what James means by implanted. He's referring to that great promise. This is the fulfillment of that promise. This is the fulfillment of the new covenant promise that the word will be in you. It's implanted in you. You can do this. It's within your reach. So, we know what the command is. Receive the word. And we're motivated now to do it because our salvation is at stake. Our spiritual life is at stake. Our spiritual growth is at stake. We understand the motive. So now, let's take a look at we know the why, so let's look at the how. How James says this is to be done. First, he requires a certain attitude. Look at verse 21 again. Humbly accept the word planted in you. Requires the attitude of humility. If you want to know how to make God's word penetrate and absorb into your heart, the starting point for that is humility. Isaiah 66:2. "This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and who trembles at my word." Who trembles This is the only way to properly absorb God's word is to be in awe of it. To tremble at the thought that these are the very words of God. These are the very thoughts of God. They say that Martin Luther, the first time he served communion, he thought that was, the elements were Jesus' body and blood, and he trembled so much he spilled it. If he would do that, shouldn't we do that with the word when we realize these are the thoughts of the Almighty? It's a revelation of his will. That's a humble listener. A proud listener listens to master the word of God. A humble listener wants to be mastered by the word of God. If you approach the Bible with suspicion, that's a mark of a proud listener. So it's like, I don't know, this sounds like a myth. I don't know if I can believe that's true. Maybe that's true. I don't know about that. And you got suspicion. Or if you approach the Bible with just a casual, maybe I'll accept this, maybe I won't kind of attitude, your heart will never absorb it. You don't have the humility there, and so it's not going to absorb. Prideful listeners get smarter and smarter and smarter, more and more educated about the Bible, but they don't receive much of it, if any. It doesn't sink in. So if you wonder, why am I doing it? I'm ever learning, but never able to do it. Why do I keep learning more and more about the Bible? I can't seem to put it into practice. Could be a lack of humility in the way that you're listening to it. Will you let it convict you of sin? Or are you going to resist it when it tries to point out your sin? Are you humble? James brings up the topic of humility numerous times in this book because he knows what a massive problem that is for the church. It causes all kinds of spiritual problems. And one of the biggest ones is the fact that it makes your heart crust over with a coating that is word resistant. You can't penetrate. You can't be received. Prideful listening is when you read the Bible from the standpoint of an evaluator. I'm passing judgment on this. The way you read a regular human book, any book that you read, regular human book, you open it up. It's written by a human author who's fallible. And so you open it up with the attitude, okay, I'll see what this guy says and I'll make a decision about whether I buy into it. I'll evaluate it. This writer's telling me to do something. Okay, I'll listen to his arguments. I'll evaluate those arguments. If I agree with him, then I'll go ahead and do what he says. So in a sense, you're sitting in judgment on the book, which is fine to do that with human authors. But it's spiritual suicide to do that with the Bible. Nobody is in a position to pass judgment on the Word of God. Nobody. And yet in our pride, that's exactly what we tend to do. Anytime you have a perspective of passing judgments on God's law, you're not obeying it. You're disobeying it. You're breaking it. Anytime you pass judgment on it, you're breaking it. That's what he says in chapter 4, James 4:11. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but you're sitting in judgment on it. You can't do both. Ask yourself, does what you read in the Bible have to measure up to a certain standard before you're willing to accept it? Does it have to meet some standard? What happens when the Bible says the opposite of what you think, of what you feel is right? Then what? What do you do? Do you trust your gut? Or do you trust the Word of God? What about when the Bible contradicts the majority of scientists? We know the Bible never contradicts true science itself. Because truth is truth. It's never going to contradict that. But very often the Bible contradicts popular scientific opinions, right? What do? When you read your Bible and it seems to be saying one thing and the great majority of scientists and all your professors and teachers all said the opposite, which way does your heart go? Is your first impulse to say, there's a contradiction here. Scientists must be wrong. I'm going to have to figure out a way to interpret the scientific data to fit with what this is saying. Is that your first impulse? Or is your first impulse to say, there's no way all these scientists can be wrong. And so we're going to have to find a way to interpret the Bible to fit what we know is true scientifically. Which way? Because there's some people, they want to be Christians. They want to accept the Bible. They want to be Bible people. And yet, whenever they're trying to harmonize the Bible with psychology or science or popular scientific theories, it's always the Bible that has to be adjusted to fit those theories instead of the other way around. And if that's your approach, that's a sign of a heart that is standing above God's word instead of sitting beneath it and humbly receiving it. The humble listener doesn't pass judgment on the message, nor does the humble listener pass judgment on the messenger. Prideful listeners have to have a certain kind of messenger. They have to have it delivered a certain way. Prideful listeners have to have the word of God served up on a silver platter, or they won't receive it. Ask yourself, how skillfully does the word of God have to be presented in order for me to be willing to receive it? You hear a preacher who really isn't a very good speaker. He's dry, kind of clumsy in his approach, not very funny, not very organized. Maybe his life isn't really a very good testimony. You've seen him do things and you're just like, man, I don't know about that. But what he's teaching really is the word of God. He's accurately teaching the word of God. If that's the case, can you learn from a guy like that? What if he's younger than you? What if he's been saved less years than you? What if he's less educated than you biblically? Can you learn from a guy like that? Are there ever times when you don't accept the message because of the messenger? Does that ever happen in your life? It shouldn't. Because the message is from God. We're not at liberty to be picky about the messenger. Could it be that God has chosen on purpose to communicate His word through fallible, sinful, weak messengers for a reason? He wants humble listeners. You know, every time I learn something new about preaching and how I could improve my preaching, I always feel bad for the people who had to sit under all my sermons in the past before I learned this thing, and it's like, oh, those poor people, they didn't get as good a preaching. And so many times I've wondered, why does God do that? Why does God make the training ground for a preacher a live congregation with real spiritual needs, whose spiritual lives are at stake? And you need this word. You depend on the preaching of God's word for your spiritual life. I mean, you're going to be fed this way. This is real important. Why does God have a student up here? Why does that a guy who's in process of learning how to preach up here for such an important task? Why would God do that? I mean, from a human standpoint, it sounds like, I mean, it seems to me like everybody would be better off if God would just wait until I'm fully trained and highly skilled and then start me out preaching to real people. Why is it that God set the church up in such a way that the main way that people get fed is through crummy Bible teachers? He calls fallible, forgetful, sinful men to this task? Why? Why not angels? Why not angels? Could it be? Because God knows that the only way His word can be absorbed in your heart is if you're a humble listener. And it takes, let's face it, it takes some humility to sit at the feet of a klutz and listen, right? Take some humility to take some meekness to receive a message when it's coming out of the mouth of somebody who you've seen make all kinds of dumb mistakes and who has sinned against you and hurt you and done all kinds of dumb things and who's just really, really, really very ordinary. Take some humility to learn from a guy like that. Never forget, it's not the messenger. It's the message. It's the issue. I stand up here as a messenger. I'm up here on this platform. I'm behind this pulpit. I'm speaking authoritatively every Sunday. Thou shalt do this. And that's not because I'm anything. I'm nothing. I'm just another one in the long line that started with Balaam's donkey. Right? God once spoke through a donkey. And if you're too proud to be able to receive instruction from God through the mouth of a donkey, you're too proud. Because if it's God's word, we should be all ears. We should have an attitude that says, God, a humble listener is somebody that has an attitude that says, God, whatever you say, however you say it, whenever you say it, and through whom you say it, I'm all ears. Whatever the implications are for my life, however it's going to hurt me, however it's going to convict me, I'm all ears. If it's your message, I'm all ears. Whatever you say, I want to have one response. Faith. Faith. I want to believe it. That's the bottom line. It's always the bottom line. If you're listening to a message with a humble heart, that means the way you can tell you have a humble heart, you'll believe it. And you'll trust it enough to follow it. You'll combine it with faith. Hebrews 4:2. The message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. That's humble listening. You receive God's word when your heart responds with simple, unconditional trust.
How humble is your listening? Are there any signs of pride in the way you listen to sermons or in the way that you respond to hard truths in God's word? There are some prideful responses to Scripture that are hard to spot. For example, when the Bible calls us to do something and we think, oh, I can't, it's too hard. At first glance, that sounds like a humble response, right? But it isn't. It's prideful because God already told us that it's not too hard. It is in you. He said, I can do it. So if I turn around and say, no, I can't, then I'm placing my own feelings above Scripture. And that's prideful. Ask the Lord to search your heart and reveal any prideful responses you have in relationship to His Word.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.